the first test of the summer gets underway tomorrow at the Gabba with Australia taking on Pakistan. And we're lucky enough to talk to former Australian fast bowler Jeff Henry Lawson. Morning, Henry.
Morning, Loz, Dave, James.
I saw Henry the other night at the Sports Award, South Wales Sports Award, looking a splendour dressed up in that suit, Henry.
As for you, Loz, and keeping the company of Bobby McCarthy and Ron Coote and Bradley Clyde, it was the hoi polloi of the rugby league, sir.
it was a fantastic night, and well done to Elise Perry, of course. For winning the New South Wales Athlete of the Year. Talking of females, Henry, before we talk about this test match, I just want to get your thoughts on Emily Smith being banned from playing in the WBBL for the rest of the season for posting a photo of the batting lineup on Instagram. Do you think the penalty was very harsh or it was fair?
Well, I think a little harsh, but when we talk about the WBBL, I mean, there are rules to do with use of mobile phones, and the anti-corruption people are very strict about them, but on that particular occasion, it was a rainy game, it was on-off, and the phones are supposed to be collected when you walk into a dressing room and not given back to you until the end of the match. That wasn't done by the authorities, so Emily had a phone when it should have been secured somewhere, so that's not her fault. She innocently posted the team just before the toss. So, yeah, I mean, by the law, by the black and white, she breached that code, but really the actual effect of that was zero. And then to be suspended, you know, WBBL contracts, apparently Emily Smith aren't that much money. She would have put a lot of time and effort. And she's not allowed to play cricket now, not just the WBBL, but any cricket whatsoever. And that is just a nonsense. That's not a punishment that changes behaviour. That's a punishment that forces somebody out of the game. So I don't think Cricket Australia has thought that one through very much at all.
I agree.
Jeff, what about the talk us through the protocols as players walk into dressing rooms. They're not allowed to have their phones there at all, but they can stand outside the dressing room and have their phones. How's it work?
Well, there's a cut-off time.
Right.
As to all phones must be in. And the only person that can have a phone would be medical staff, who obviously might need it, and the team manager. And they need those for specific reasons. But often at most grounds, there'll be their security person standing at the dressing room door, and they will take all the phones. They're all locked away either in one big bag or in separate lockers. But there's a specific cut-off time for that. And it's usually before the toss, maybe an hour before the game starts. And certainly at BBL games, the ICC security people will come around and double and triple and quadruple check that all the phones are in. There's a list. Everybody's name's going to be checked off. So it's quite a strict protocol. But that's all going to be done, I think, at the very least before the toss is had. So you can't, you know, give information on the wicket and the players, which, you know, it's all a bit nebulous. When those things are... Those criteria are thought up by a panel sitting around a table. A lot of it's not very practical sort of stuff, but it's there for a reason. There is a lot of spot fixing around World T20, but the WBBL and the BBL are considered by anti-corruption to be the safest leagues in the world, and to have someone suspended for putting out an Instagram of their team on a rainy day just before the toss. Yeah, not quite. Not a lot of common sense to that, but they say about common sense.
When you say, I've got to just ask you that, when you say about the spot fixing in T20 or the allegation or the thought, what do you mean by that, mate?
Well, around the world, there's so many T20 leagues now, and we've seen the Bangladesh Premier League suspended because the spot fixing was so significant. But it's so easy. The spot fixing is not match fixing. It's when you, a no ball might be bowled, and we've seen that happen in Test cricket or wides or certain runs are scored up over. So there's a spot, and that's an incident that happens that people bet on. Like, will there be a wide on the third ball of the seventh over? You know, that sort of very specific sort of betting. you know, T20 around the world's really open to it because there's so much that on, it's very hard to regulate it. Mm. So, you know, it's a concern for the anti-corruption authorities around the world. But as I say, the BBL and the WBBL are considered two of the leagues with the highest credibility in the world.
Mm. I wanted to ask your opinion on Cricket Australia and when things, obviously with everything that happened with Sandpapergate, and now with things that happen in the future, are you concerned as a participant that they're becoming a bit knee-jerk instead of taking a step back and going through a process that because of what happened in South Africa, now every punishment has to be huge and they have to be seen as coming down hard on every facet of bad behaviour, etc.?
Yeah, look, the rules say, let's take the, I don't know if you're referring to like the James Patson stuff or the Steve Smith report for dissent, that, which was pretty minor stuff, perhaps a little more serious. But no, that stuff hasn't come about because of the cultural low standards of Australian cricket. And that's been in the rules for quite some time. And there's been a lot of people, you know, reported for dissent for some of the most minor things you'd imagine, looking at the edge of their bat when they've been given out LBW. These things are specifically written down the code. So that code hasn't really come about because of what happened with the Australian cricket team. Are they interpreting it more severely? Maybe. But I don't think there's much difference before and after. Look, I think players are more aware of how they're going to behave. That's for sure. And on-field sledging and chat has certainly been downplayed in the last year or two. I think Australian cricketers have figured that out. But once was acceptable, it's not anymore. I think that's worked pretty well. So fair enough that there's some punishment for that. But those rules have been in existence for a while. I mean, let's just go back to the betting thing. There was an example, I think, 3 years ago. I forget the player's name, the WBBL, had a 50-cent bet or a dollar bet on an unrelated game, and they end up getting suspended for that sort of thing. And that's not the multi-million-dollar spot fixers. That's someone having a dollar on someone else to be player of the match in a sport played by a different sex even. So they came down pretty hard on that.
Well, we've got the first test getting underway tomorrow up there at the Gabba. How do you see this game panning out, Henry?
Well, as they say, Laurie, the first hour, the first day is crucial. You know, that hasn't changed, particularly not at the Gabba. I think Pakistan are a lot stronger than people may be giving them credit for. They showed that in that Australia A game where, you know, Australia did have almost its second best side on the field. They were absolutely touched up. If Pakistan win the toss and bowl at the Gabba, Australia are still a big chance of getting knocked over. We've seen that quality Pakistan seam bowling attack. They are really, really good.
They've
got pace. They got control. There's a few not household names there. Mm. You know, with teenagers playing, but it's a pretty good bowling lineup, and they've also got some quality batting. If Australia win the toss and bowl first, and I don't know what the wicket's like, I haven't seen the wicket, but if Australia bowl first, Pakistan might be the spot above it too. You know, Azhar Ali and Babar Azam and Shafiq get out early, that might put them in a hole. So the toss is a big one up at the Gabba first morning. It always does a little bit, but you know, if Pakistan bowl first, they're a chance of knocking Australia over.
Based on an article in today's Daily Telegraph, what's Steve Smith's batting average when he finishes Test cricket?
63.42.
63?
63. 63.
So about the same.
Yeah, I mean, mate, to continue to average 60, I mean, every innings you have, I mean, as we know, it's second to Bradman, so... Mm. So that's going to be pretty good.
So,
yeah. But, yeah, it'll be in the 60s.
All right.
The thing that I can't sort of believe, I rate Kohli as a batsman, all right? I think he's one of the best I've seen. He's averaging 54. He's behind Steve Smith, but it's a 10-point difference.
Runs. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is massive.
And Kohli's a genius as well. I mean, Smith and Kohli, they're the best two players in the world. Yeah. And on all sorts of pitches as well.
Yeah.
And Kohli's got that average playing off the... Yeah, well, it's his home stuff in India, of course, but, you know, he's doing that on on wickets that turn a fair bit and are a challenge. But he also does it. You know, when he came out to Australia last year, how good was he?
Yeah.
That's what the great players do. They are great in their home conditions, but they're also great away. And Smith and Coley are certainly both of that.
Enjoy that first hour tomorrow, Henry.
Yeah, it should be good. I'm really looking forward to this Test series. We've had a lot of interesting build-up, a lot of white ball cricket, a couple of T20 series, but we've had the four Shield games leading into this Test, so, mate, it should be terrific.
No, it'd be fantastic. Good on you, mate.
Bye, guys.